It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
We're just a mere few weeks away from opening day for baseball season, and I read an article the other day that personally I thought it was ludicrous at first when I read it. And then I kind of started thinking about it from the opposite perspective that I have, right? And so I'm going to lay this out. The thought, the article I read was on whether or not the Atlanta Braves should trade Ronald Acuña Jr. And, you know, at first that seems absolutely asinine. That just seems ludicrous to do. But I'm going to walk my way through the other side of this argument to try to make it make sense. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by DBM Roofing, and by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available. Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate, 912-326-5337. Give DBM a like on Facebook or check them out online, dbmroofing.com. All right, so here's the case, right? The article that I read was arguing that at some point that the Braves are going to have to give Ronald Acuña a better, higher-paying contract. So for those of you that don't know, a few years ago, Ronald Acuña Jr. signed a bargain buster of a deal with the Atlanta Braves, a steal of a deal for the Braves. They got him for 10 years and $100 million. I think that deal would have taken him into his early 30s, maybe 31, 32 years old, somewhere in there, maybe 33. So $100 million on average. Now the payout is not exactly, you know, on average salary, but on average salary, right? That's $10 million a year. The way the contract is structured, he got paid in the front part of that contract. It's backloaded. He got paid in the front part of that contract like $4 or $5 million. And then as the contract wears on, I think it eventually gets up to around $17 or $18 million per year for the Atlanta Braves. So even still, it's still a really good deal, even with the backloaded side, where the salary gets, you know, into the teens. The fact that Ronald Acuña Jr. is not making $30 million in his prime is a good thing for whatever team that has him signed, which in this case is the Atlanta Braves. So it was saying that the Braves should trade him because at some point Ronald Acuña and his agent and his group are going to attempt to strong-arm the Braves into giving him a more lucrative deal, much more in line with what the superstars of this game, Major League Baseball, are getting paid, $300, $400, $500 million, you know, over, you know, 10, 12, 13, 15 years, whatever the case. So the argument was arguing that it would be better for the Braves to deal him so they don't have to come out of pocket for that money, because quite frankly, the Braves can't afford that type of contract. And in return, you know, get a couple of frontline guys, major league ready guys, and then a boatload of prospects to be able to build past the trading of Ronald Acuña Jr. down the road. That's the argument. The other side, the other part of the argument is the injuries of Ronald Acuña Jr. Now on his second ACL, due back, of course, as we know, he's going to miss the first month of the season at least. So April, May, June. May or June is when you're looking at the return of Ronald Acuña. So the arguments are the article is arguing from the financial aspect that the Braves may have to end up paying Ronald Acuña Jr. And then also from an injury standpoint, that maybe Ronald Acuña Jr. is injury prone and he's never even going to live up to the 10-year, $100 million contract that he signed for. So, you know, give that to somebody else to pay. From those arguing points, I mean, it's not unheard of, right? It's not a bad argument. The thing that I can't get over is, let's say you do trade Ronald Acuña. What type of major league talent do you have to get, and how many frontline prospects, because that's what you're going to have to be asking for Ronald Acuña Jr., how many frontline prospects are going to make up for the value at this current point and the potential value of what Ronald Acuña Jr. brings to your team? He is an elite hitter. He is an elite power guy. He hits for average. He steals bases. He's great defensively. Got a fantastic arm. Five-tool guy. How do you get equal value back for Ronald Acuña Jr. if you are to deal him? I remember thinking about this with A-Rod back in the day when A-Rod was in his prime, and I think Texas was trying to, you know, shop him around. And, you know, I was thinking back then, like, what do you get for A-Rod that's going to make that deal worth your while to make? And of course, as we know, that, you know, it didn't work out that way, because you couldn't get equal value for a player like A-Rod. Now, I put Acuña in that same dynamic, you know, the same type of argument. What type of value are you going to get, equal value are you going to get for Ronald Acuña Jr.? There really isn't any out there. Even if you take a boatload of frontline prospects, they're just that. They're prospects. There's no guarantee that they're going to pan out. And so, you know, let's just say you get, you know, three frontline prospects. If one of those guys pans out, are they going to pan out to be superstar level, which of course is the potential for Ronald Acuña even down the road? And that's what he has been, even up until the injuries. Trading for prospects, it's a roll of the dice. Yeah, you know, you get these prospects, you know, can't miss, and then they do. It's a roll of the dice. You just don't know. They could have fantastic numbers in AAA, get to the major league level, and can't hit the broadside of the barn. Atlanta Braves fans may remember this guy, Wes Helms. That was the case with him. Jordan Schaefer, that was the case with him. Fantastic minor league numbers. Through the roof numbers, video game numbers in AAA and AA and single A. And then when they got at the major league level, they were never that player. Just because you're a frontline guy, you know, that you're a blue chip prospect, doesn't mean that's going to translate to the major league. A guy that's on the roster right now, Jared Kelnick, you know, Atlanta's hoping that he realizes that potential, but, you know, Kelnick was a first round pick by the Mariners and they gave up on him at 24 years old and shipped him to Atlanta. Great minor league numbers, but it hasn't translated for him at the major league level. So that's the gamble you play by trading Ronald Acuña for frontline prospects. Now, at the major league level, is there anybody that would be on the market that the Atlanta Braves, and this is the key point, that the Atlanta Braves could afford, that's on that same level with Ronald Acuña Jr. to make that trade? That's the only other way of doing it. And, you know, with Ronald Acuña Jr., you know, I think of guys like Juan Soto, you know, Aaron Judge, those types. He's in that top echelon of talent in Major League Baseball, and the Braves can't afford those contracts. So, again, if you're going to trade him, you've either got to get a boatload of prospects, and I don't like that because you don't know how many of them are going to pan out. And if they do pan out, are they going to be superstar level? You don't know that. And if you're going to trade him for major league talent, fair swap, I don't know that there are many guys that are going to be available, teams that are going to be willing to part with, to bring Acuña over, who's got two ACLs, and give you their premier player. And even if they were, the whole point of trading Ronald Acuña would be to get out of the financial responsibilities for him, if in the event that he and his camp pushed to get a better deal, Why would you trade him on the contract that he is to take on a bigger deal if you're trying to avoid that? So those are the pros and the cons of that argument. For me, Ronald Acuña Jr. is what, in his mid-20s somewhere. Yeah, he's coming off of a second ACL. He did remember that first ACL that he tore. He won the MVP the very next year. So he has shown that he can recover from it all the way to MVP type play. I just can't bring myself to say this is a deal that Atlanta should even be considering to make, trading Ronald Acuña Jr. So when I read this article, I was just like, what the bleep is this?
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. High school baseball is in full swing now. The Bullock Academy Gators are off to a great start. Gators have won all seven of their season opening games and look like a strong region contender. Also off to a strong start are the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, amassing a 9-2 record in this early portion of the season. Not to be outdone, the Knights of Frederica have won four of their first five games. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit. Or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
Once again, the Florida Gators, I want to delve into their 2025 schedule. They had a brutal schedule in 2024. They exceeded expectations. Napier was able to save his job. And so I was looking at their schedule for 2025, and it is just as brutal as 2024. And, you know, the question, I'm going to go through the schedule here in a minute, but the question to me is, with Napier exceeding expectations last year to save his job, remember he was on the hot seat because it was like 6-7, 7-5, 6-6. That's what he was doing. And that's not what the Gators are looking for consistently. The Gators are trying to contend for SEC championships and national championships. That is the goal whenever they hire a coach. And so Billy Napier, through his tenure, he hasn't gotten them to that point. Now, he inherited a mess, no doubt. Not questioning that. I just feel like, is this the best that you're going to get from the Florida Gators with Billy Napier? And I do think that, you know, the difficulty of the schedule was taken into consideration as far as not firing him last year. And I wonder if they'll do that again if he has similar results. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by DBM Roofing, and by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery at 912-466-7340 or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. All right, so let's get into this. I'm just going to run it down really quickly, and then we'll go through it. All right, so the University of Florida's got LIU at home, South Florida at home. They're on the road, Death Valley at LSU. They're on the road at Miami. They're at home against Texas. They're on the road at Texas A&M, home against Mississippi State. Down in Jacksonville against Georgia, on the road against Kentucky, on the road against Ole Miss. They're at home against Tennessee, and they're at home against Florida State. All right, so I'm going to start here with the games that I feel like are pretty automatic. LIU, South Florida, and Florida State, I feel like, are pretty winnable games. So let's give them three to start with. So we'll start with the LIU game, right? That's like a tune-up. They're playing a cupcake. They should blow them out. They should walk the dog on them, run them out of the stadium. The next week, they are at home September the 6th again at Ben Hill Griffin against South Florida. Not really a rivalry game because those programs are on different levels. Florida's got a lot more talent on the roster than South Florida does. And even, you know, on the level that South Florida is, they're not banging anybody's door down. So the Gators should get off to a 2-0 start with wins over LIU and South Florida. Things start getting interesting when week three comes along and September 13th, they've got to go on the road to LSU to play in Death Valley. I don't know. With what the Gators showed me last year, and I do know they had the win against LSU, but going to Death Valley and winning that game is a huge undertaking. I don't like them to win that game on the road. So I'm going to give LSU the win, and I'm going to give Florida their first loss on the season, which would bring them to 2-1. Now, the next week, they go again on the road to Miami. Now, at first look, I look at this game, and I'm like, well, I kind of like Florida to win that game against Miami, but then I remember Miami had Carson Beck transfer in, and Carson Beck is going to be big time for the Hurricanes. So I like at home Miami to win that game. So Florida will open up with back-to-back wins against Cupcakes, and then I think they'll drop those two back-to-back games on the road to LSU and Miami. On October 4th, they get back to the Swamp in Ben Hill Griffin, but they've got Texas coming to town. By then, we will have seen, you know, a month's worth of play from Arch Manning. I think Texas is a better football team. I think they've got more talent on the roster. They've certainly done better in recruiting, and they had another really good recruiting class this last year. So I'm going to give Florida their third straight loss. It ought to be pretty hot by that point for Billy Napier. He would be 2-3 on the season after starting 2-0. On October 11th, the Gators will head to College Station to play Texas A&M. To me, this is a coin flip game. I feel like the Gators could win that game. I feel like Texas A&M could win that game. To give Billy Napier and the Florida Gators the benefit of the doubt, I am going to give them the win to go on the road and knock off the Aggies at College Station. So that will get the Gators back to 500 at 3-3. Following week, they return home against Mississippi State, team they traditionally have had a lot of success against, especially in the Swamp. So I think Florida rebounds, gets back-to-back wins after losing three straight. They get back over 500 at 4-3. The bad news is that after that, they'll take an off week, and then on November the 1st, They will meet Georgia in Jacksonville, and those are two very, very different programs on two very, very different levels. Florida's not nearly there yet. So they'll take another loss, and that will put them down to 4-4. So he's already at four losses here, and there's still a month to go in the season. It's looking rough. 4-4, they'll go on the road to Kentucky. I like Florida to go and beat Kentucky. Traditionally, Florida's had a lot of success against Kentucky. I know Kentucky's played better against them in the last three or four seasons, but I think it will be one of those games where they feel like they've got to get it. They'll go to Lexington. They'll beat Kentucky on the road to get to 5-4. They'll take another road trip over to Oxford to play Ole Miss. Coin flip game. And again, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to give Florida and Billy Napier the benefit of the doubt and give them the win on the road. And, you know, I feel like I'm being magnanimous here, too, because I'm giving them two road wins on coin flip games against two pretty good teams. So that'll get them to 6-4. They'll return home to play Tennessee. They'll lose that game. That will bring them to 6-5 on the season, and then they will close with Florida State at home in the Swamp. I like their chances to get that game. So I feel like they're going to finish 7-5. That's good enough for a bowl game, but remember, that's what they did last year too. So you got to start thinking, okay, this seems to be a theme now with Billy Napier. Like, we keep having these 6-6, 7-5 type years, and we're far enough into his term at Florida where maybe that's just what he is. And I get it. The last 2 years, the schedule has been brutal, but hey, man, that's the way it goes in the SEC. You're not going to play a cream puff schedule. If you're in the SEC, your schedule is going to be tough. You got to beat the Tennessees and the Georgias and the LSUs of the world if you're going to be playing for SEC championships. And right now, Florida's not on that level. And I don't know. I'm not going to say they're not close. I do think they're close to being on the level of like an LSU. I still think they're a little far away for Georgia. Another 7-5 year for Billy Napier. How much patience does the Florida fan base extend here to Billy Napier? I think he's going into year 5 of this, and 8 wins is the most that Napier has been able to pull out for the Florida Gators, and that after 5 seasons. Man, you've had your opportunity. He's got to go 10-2. He's got to win a lot of games that they don't think you're going to win.
No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Trane dealer and Trane comfort specialists. High quality work, trained professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys.
For hometown, honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Bruce Kennedy Tire. For almost 20 years, Bruce Kennedy and his family have been taking care of our friends and neighbors. 2928 Norwich Street. Across from Dollar General. Tires, alignments, minor mechanic, and AC work. 912-264-6578. Pop on in. We'd love to see you. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Friday, 7 to 3:30. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Spring is in the air, and so is engagement season. Let the I do's begin, and let the folks at Cunningham Jewelers get you there. So if you're thinking what I'm thinking, then it's time to get on down to Cunningham Jewelers. They will help you find that perfect, breathtaking ring, no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in beautiful, historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com. The friendly staff at Golnoss Pharmacy would like to invite you to their new second location off of Exit 29, just down from Winn-Dixie. Golden Isles Pharmacy accepts most insurances, offers online transfers, free delivery to St. Simons in Brunswick, average in-store wait times of under 5 minutes, and a convenient drive-through at both locations. Whether it's our Altama location or Exit 29, Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. 912-266-8140 or 912-400-2929. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
The NCAA tournament picture, as far as number one seeds, is certainly becoming a little bit more clear as this over the last week. I feel like it's really taken shape. The top three, last week I told you, the top two seeds, in my opinion, were clear cut. They're done. Auburn and Duke. Now, I thought the top three and four, the three and four seed with Houston and then Alabama and Tennessee and Florida, I felt like that there was a lot of room for movement for the other two number one seeds. And so last week we had Tennessee beat Alabama. And so it really looked good for them to get one of those last seeds. But then they lose to Ole Miss. Florida beats A&M and they beat Alabama. And so for me, Florida, even though they had that loss to Georgia, Florida looks a little bit in better position. So with Alabama just completely laying an egg last week, I feel like that you know, they were in my conversation to that they had opportunities for upward mobility because they had a lot of big games against ranked teams inside the top 10 coming up for them. And now, you know, they dropped those games. So I don't see them as a contender moving forward for a number one seed. So to me, that solidifies Houston as the you know, the number three seed. So you're going to have Auburn, Duke, and Houston. And so now the number four seed is the one that's up for grabs. St. John's is 26-4. I think they have played their way into the conversation. I didn't even mention them last week, but with everything that happened over the last over last week, I think they're now in the conversation. So now there's a chance, you know, Tennessee and Florida still have some tough games coming up. So there's a chance that, you know, they could cannibalize themselves and St. John's could sneak in and take that four seed. I like Florida. I feel like the loss to Ole Miss really hurt Tennessee. I feel like it really hurt their chances of securing that number four seed. And at this point, that's all that's left. That is all that is left. There's still a good chance that two SEC. And again, you know, I've said this multiple weeks. The committee is not going to give three number one seeds to SEC teams. The most they're going to do is two. That is it. The SEC is going to get two number one seeds. Auburn's going to be one of them. And then the other one is still up in the air, and I think it really at this point comes down between Tennessee and Florida. But there's no guarantee because, like I said, St. John's has played their way in, so there is a chance here that the entirety of the season, it really felt like the case was going to be that the SEC got two number one seeds in the tournament. And now as we're winding things up, heading into conference play, it doesn't really look that way, or at least there's a good chance that St. John's could play their way into the fourth seed, and the SEC only gets one number one seed, and that is Auburn. Tennessee with a 79-76 win over Alabama, close game, and they turn around and lose 78-76 to Ole Miss. Florida, 89-70 win over A&M, and then they beat Alabama as well, 99-94. Great game. St. John's, they are 26-4 on the season. Their four losses, Baylor, Creighton, Villanova, and they do have a loss to Georgia as well, which I do think hurts their cases, hurts their case for number one seed. You look at their quality wins, it's not on par with Tennessee and Florida. This is what I'm saying, right? Like, unless the SEC, one of those teams, you know, that here down the stretch, they cannibalize themselves and allow St. John's to move into that four seed, there aren't really enough quality wins here for St. John's just to do it outright, to resume for resume, win for win, loss for loss, where you can say that St. John's has a better resume at this point than Florida or Tennessee. their key wins, Marquette, UConn, and Creighton. That's it. They split with Creighton, by the way. So three quality, in my opinion, three quality wins against, at that time, ranked teams. And you know, a loss to Baylor, who was ranked at the time. Georgia was ranked at the time they beat them, too. So, but, you know, those seasons are much different now. And you got to take the whole body of work, not just where they were when they played. So, Baylor, Creighton, Villanova, Georgia, the four losses for St. John's. And I look at quality wins, none inside the top 10 for St. John's. Marquette, UConn, and Creighton, no wins inside the top 10. So, again, when you're looking resume for resume, point to point, apples to apples, Tennessee and Florida both have a better resume than St. John. So unless the brakes fall off of one of those or both of those schools, St. John's will probably be, you know, a two seed. And Florida or Tennessee will end up acquiring that number one seed, that final number one seed. I like Florida. They did themselves a lot of favors this last week. Big win over A&M, who is ranked. Another big win over Alabama, who is ranked inside the top 10. The loss of Georgia short hurts, but I don't think it hurts enough to undo what they did this last week. They do have to have a pretty decent showing in the conference tournament. I don't think they have to win the conference tournament to be able to get a number one seed. I think just maybe, quarterfinals for the Gators would do it. Depending on whether or not they lose to if they play Tennessee in the quarterfinals and Tennessee beats them, you know, maybe things are up in the air. But if they don't play Tennessee, they don't lose to Tennessee, and they get to the quarterfinals, I think it's them. Tennessee would have to, in my opinion, they would have to beat Florida somewhere along the way. In my opinion, for Tennessee to get the number one seed, they'd have to win the rest of their regular season games, and then in the conference tournament, they would have to beat Florida at some point in the tournament to leapfrog them as the favorite to win that last number one seed. Good luck, because Tennessee doesn't show that they're capable of doing that right now. Florida's playing great.
Not only does Gentleman and Lady Outfitters carry the top brands that have made them a staple here in the Golden Isles, they also specialize in prom season. It's always important to look your best. Head on over to the Tuxedo Rental Experts at Gentleman and Lady Outfitters. For over 25 years, Gentleman and Lady Outfitters have been the leader in tuxedo rentals. 600 Sea Island Road in the Harris Teeter Shopping Center on St. Simons. Call 912-634-1521.
At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call 912-265-8674 and find us on Facebook.
Your hometown and independent pharmacy in Darien is Jets Pharmacy in the Bluestein Shopping Center. Jets Pharmacy accepts all insurances, drive-through service, and delivers to Darien and surrounding areas, including Brunswick, immunizations, competitive cash prices, and even med synchronization. So get on over to your friendly neighbors at Jets Pharmacy or give them a call at 912-437-3784. Jets Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy. Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
Yeah. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by DBM Roofing, and by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Spring training, man. Atlanta Braves baseball. I've been surprised. It looks like that in the absence of Ronald Acuna Jr. for the first month of the season, in spring training, Brian Snitker has been batting Jurickson Profar first. I've been a little surprised at that. I really figured he would hit a little bit further down the order, maybe sixth or so. But and I figured they would play Michael Harris at the leadoff spot there. But it looks like Snitker is going to go with Profar to hit leadoff until Acuna returns at least, and then for sure Acuna will resume his role at the top of the order. That's been a surprise for me early on, was Profar hitting first. I'm warming up to it, I guess, and he swung the bat pretty okay in the spring. Again, spring training, the guys are just trying to get timing, mechanics. You can't put a lot of emphasis on, output. Sure, you can, but you can't put a lot of emphasis on it, especially with a guy like Profar that you're pretty comfortable, that he's going to put up, pretty decent numbers. You're just hoping that, he gets himself right. That's what he's there to do. Pitching staff still got a lot of question marks. A.J. Smith-Shawver, certainly still in the mix. Ian Anderson has looked better, I guess, since his first disastrous start. Hurston Waldrop has done okay. Bryce Elder in the mix as well for those fourth and fifth spots. Basically those are the guys that are pitching for it. Holmes as well, Grant Holmes, who has pitched really well. I think that he, at this point, if you're moving forward, he's your number four, and then everybody else is pitching for the number five spot at this point, is what I see out of the rotation. Does cause some concern. Grant Holmes has pitched out of the bullpen the last couple of years, so, they've spent the spring trying to stretch him out for sure. We did see him in the postseason come into a game. I think it was a game where Max Fried, had a little boo-boo on his finger and couldn't pitch. And Grant Holmes came in and pitched, two or three really good innings out of the bullpen as a long guy. So they've spent the spring trying to stretch him out, get him at least into shape where he could give you five innings, maybe six, consistently. If Grant Holmes is giving you five innings consistently out of the four spot, you got to feel pretty good about it, I guess. You'd still rather have, in my opinion, a veteran guy there with a four hole to give yourself some flexibility, some depth, and some insurance with injuries as well. To this point, Atlanta's not done that. They're betting on the guys that they have in camp. So we'll see how that goes. Jared Kelnick, been a big surprise to me. Not saying that he is like tearing it up, but he's swinging the bat a little bit better. And, he is, again, I've said this time and time again, Atlanta wants him to be successful in the spring. They want him to have a good first month of the season. They gave up a lot to get Jared Kelnick, and they have high hopes for him. So they want him to be a part of the plan long term. To this point, he has not played into the long part of the plan. We're going to get a chance to, I'm really excited about this. We're going to get a chance to see Drake Baldwin, a guy that I really like as a prospect. Great defensive catcher. He's got a really good arm. Not the arm that Sean Murphy has. And, of course, the reason he's going to play is Murphy, he got hit by a pitch and cracked a rib. So he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, which pretty much puts him out for the first month of the season. So I would assume that Atlanta is going to carry Drake Baldwin into the regular season as their starting catcher. So their top prospect in the organization is going to get a chance to play mostly every day for the first few weeks of the season and see what he can do. He's been really impressive in the spring. Left-handed hitter, and he had a game last week where he had two at-bats. He had three at-bats in the game, and two of those at-bats were against left-handers, and he got hits off both of them. So he's showing that he can hit at this early stage in his career, they can already hit left-handers. He went oppo both at-bats against the lefties to get hits to left field. So that's showing some maturity, not trying to pull off the ball, not trying to put the ball in the seats against a left-hander. So lefty versus lefty, Drake Baldwin is showing us that he can hit left-handers. He's certainly shown us that he's been able to hit right-handers as well. I think Atlanta Braves fans are going to be really, really happy with what Drake Baldwin brings to the table. when they get a chance to see him play every day. I had somebody mention to me, you know, well, would you, do you want to rush him along? And maybe you, the Atlanta signed a couple of fringe major league catchers in the offseason to minor league deals. Would you rather just carry one of those catchers? And you also have Chadwick Tromp on the roster too. Would you rather carry Chadwick Tromp, you know, as your everyday starter and leave Baldwin in AAA to not try to rush him? And so my argument to that is no. I would rather have Drake Baldwin go up to the major league level. Let's just say he doesn't hit. Let's just say he's not ready and he doesn't hit. Well, the catchers that you're going to carry anyway aren't going to hit regardless. Drake Baldwin has the potential to hit, but even if he doesn't, you get some advantages because you give him the opportunity to play at the major league level, get him some experience at that level, and so he understands what it's going to take for him to be successful at that level. You can't do that by throwing him back to AAA and just say, well, you know, you're not, we don't think you're quite ready and we don't want to shake your confidence or any of that. Now, granted, if he goes out and he starts the season, you know, 1-for-30, okay, you know, now we're having a different conversation. But, you know, if he's 5-for-20 or, 3-for-14, you know, you stick with him and you give him the opportunity to play and get that experience, because I feel like that's really invaluable for Drake Baldwin at this point. Get some major league experience. See what you can do, man. The problem, it's a good problem to have, is if Drake Baldwin gets to the major league level and he hits and he handles the pitching staff and he starts throwing out runners, we already know he's a good defensive catcher, and then Sean Murphy gets healthy, what do? You want Baldwin to play every day, but he's just shown you that he can play at the major league level if he hits. Do you send him back down? Surely you can't play him over Sean Murphy. Murphy's got that big contract. And Murphy did have a pretty good 2023. 2024, of course, was disastrous. And he missed a big portion of that season, too. But when he was healthy, he didn't hit. You know, it's a good problem to have, I guess, if you're Atlanta. I believe Murphy's got a couple more years left on his deal. That contract's pretty much immovable for Atlanta. They can't move it because of the poor season that Murphy had. And, of course, Murphy now getting up there in age, late 20s, early 30s is, you know, where he's at. So I don't know that he's really – that contract is very movable if you want it, at least for right now. Now, if Murphy has a really good year, you know, maybe in the off season, if Drake Baldwin is ready and Atlanta feels like it's time to pull the trigger, you know, Murphy – you might be able to move that contract and not have to eat a whole bunch of it if he has a pretty good year. If he doesn't have a good year, it's going to be really interesting to see how Anthopoulos handles that, especially if Baldwin is ready. You know, how do you go about finagling getting off the hook for as much as you can with Sean Murphy's contract? And quite frankly, I was never a fan of that trade. Remember, we traded, I believe it was William Contreras, to the Brewers. It was a three-way deal between us, the Athletics, and the Brewers, and we traded away William Contreras to Milwaukee, who was an all-star over there. He was an all-star with us, too. I liked Contreras. He was young. He could hit. He wasn't the best defensive catcher in the world. I understand that, but, you know, he could have gotten serviceable, and that's what Milwaukee has done. They've turned him into a serviceable major league catcher. He's not, you know, he's not going to win a whole cupboard full of gold gloves, but he is a serviceable major league catcher and he can hit and he's young. I didn't like when Atlanta pulled the trigger on that deal and brought in Murphy and then extended Murphy for what it was, a 4 more years. And Murphy was already like 27 or 28 at that time. And then along comes Drake Baldwin now, who is trying to knock down the door to get to the major league level in spring training. And at this point, the door is starting to break for Drake Baldwin, and he's going to get that he's going to get an opportunity to play every day at the major league level, and let's see what he does. He is your future catcher, that is for sure.
Whether you're heading to the big game or having friends over, you're going to need to get your party right. And M&B Liquors has everything you need with a large selection. And if you can't find it, the friendly M&B staff will get it for you. Be sure to ask about our keg selection, too. Locally family-owned and operated since 1985. Off exit 29 on I-95. 61 Candler Drive. Call 912-265-2567 and look for specials on Facebook. M&B Liquors.
Trying to find great family fun, but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the Spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. Conveniently located just down from the hospital at 3010 Altama. Accepts most insurances. Hassle-free transfers and online transfers. Free delivery to St. Simons and Mainland Brunswick. Average in-store wait times under 5 minutes. Experience the difference for yourself. GoldenIslesPharmacy.com. 912-266-8140. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
Spring is in the air, and so is engagement season. Let the I do's begin, and let the folks at Cunningham Jewelers get you there. So if you're thinking what I'm thinking, then it's time to get on down to Cunningham Jewelers. They will help you find that perfect, breathtaking ring, no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in beautiful, historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
We were talking Braves baseball last segment. I had somebody ask me whether or not I thought Atlanta was good enough to win the division. And I look at what the Mets and the Phillies did in the offseason, and I don't think so. I think that Atlanta's going to have to do something with the back end of their rotation at the 4 and 5 spots eventually. You know, maybe these guys that are in camp, Grant Holmes, Ian Anderson's of the world, you know, maybe they're good enough to start the season in camp on the roster. But when you're playing 162 games, you know, pitching depth with the, especially when you get to the third and the fourth spots in the rotation, that's really what wins division championships, is how deep is your pitching. You know, do you have guys in the third or fourth spots that you can depend on, which will put you in positions to win games? They don't have to win Cy Youngs, but they got to put you in positions to win games. And, you know, right now I've got a lot of questions, even about the guys that are healthy. I've shared this with you guys already. You know you're going to get Spencer Strider back later in the year, well, after the first month-ish. The question is for him, he's coming off of Tommy John. Where's the velocity going to be? Where's the location going to be? How long is it going to take him to round into form? Does he start off the year where the location and his velocity is a tick off, and then he works his way into it, but in the meantime, he's kind of getting hit around? You know, you just don't know. Now, Spencer Strider comes out of the gate and is Spencer Strider. Great. That's a huge addition. That helps your staff a lot. You look at Chris Sale coming off of a Cy Young season. 35 years old, can he duplicate what he did last season? And remember, there were several starts where Brian Snitker skipped a day, pushed him back a day just to give him extra rest so that he wouldn't tire out later in the year that they would have him. So they're already making those accommodations for him, even in a Cy Young year. 35 years old. How effective is he going to be? Can he duplicate what he did last year? If he does, they're in good shape, especially with Strider coming back. That's a pretty solid 1-2 punch. At number three, Spencer Schwellenbach. Fantastic rookie campaign. He's looked great in spring as well. He has been dominant in spring. He was really He really exceeded expectations last season. Coming back for his sophomore season, scouting report gets out a little bit. Hitters start seeing his stuff. They start figuring kind of out what he does, what he likes to do, what his stuff does. Can he repeat that same success that he had last year? Don't know. It's only his second season, and it's going to be his first full season. You know, how does he hold up over the rigors of a 162-game schedule where he's going to be expected to make 20, 25, maybe around 30 starts? How does he hold up? Remember years ago, there was a pitcher for the Nationals. His name is on the tip of my tongue. It escapes me. Top-notch guy, high draft pick. And his first or second season, he was lights out. Season started to wind down. He started getting hit a little bit. And even during the playoff run, they made the decision. Well, he made the decision. His camp made the decision to shut him down. For the last month of the season because he was just so fatigued. I worry about that for Spencer Schwellenbach. First full season, is he going to be able to handle the grind of a full season, and can he duplicate what he did last year? Then I come to Ronaldo Lopez, a guy that had been primarily a bullpen guy. He got a chance to work his way in the rotation, get some spot starts. He pitched well for the Braves. Pitched his way into the starting rotation because they had so many injuries last year. So he pitches his way into the starting rotation and has a pretty good year. Struggled getting out of the fifth inning with pitch counts. He'd be in the fifth inning and he'd have 95, 100 pitches, 105. They'd have to take him out of the game, and now they've got to fill the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings typically. If he got into the sixth inning, it was typically a win. For the Atlanta Braves, you know, one of those mental wins, I guess. I've got concerns about that with him, and also he got hurt too, right? He was one of those guys that was on the IL for a little while. So, you know, the durability of a Ronaldo Lopez, if the Braves are going to have to, they've lost Minter, they've lost Jimenez, they're going to have some of these bullpen guys step up, but also they're going to have the starters eat more innings. Because they don't have as many leverage, high leverage guys in the middle of that bullpen to come out and pitch the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings as they did last year. So a guy like Lopez, Ronaldo Lopez, worries me with that regard because that guy is a bullpen fatigue machine. Bullpen's having to pick up four innings every time he takes the ball. When you get into August and September in the Atlanta Heat, that does matter. So I've got questions about him too. I've got questions about Spencer Strider coming back. I've got questions about Chris Sale. I've got questions about Schwellenbach. I've got questions about Ronaldo Lopez. Even with the guys they have coming back healthy, I still am concerned about them too, much less the guys that are trying to pitch their way into the rotation. So it's just a situation where the Atlanta Braves season is going to be made or not made on what the rotation does, and we'll see how Alex Anthopoulos handles things if they go sideways, which I hope they don't. But Braves fans, just be ready that if the rotation falters, we're not making the playoffs, and we'd have to have some really big years from guys that haven't typically put up those types of years to be able to beat the Phillies and the Mets. In the division, they went out, both of those teams, and got better. And Atlanta, quite frankly, you know, we got a little better with Profar. Yeah, I mean, sure, rotation's still a big question mark. And now you've got some questions in your bullpen, middle innings. It's going to be an interesting season. And I do think that some of those guys like Austin Riley and Ozuna and Matt Olson will get back to form that all had off years last year. That will help. And also, I'm going to make a bold prediction as I'm going off the air here. Matt Olson, I think, has a monster year and is an MVP candidate and may win the dang thing.
Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. High school baseball is in full swing now. The Bullock Academy Gators are off to a great start. The Gators have won all seven of their season opening games and look like a strong region contender. Also off to a strong start are the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, amassing a 9-2 record in this early portion of the season. Not to be outdone, the Knights of Frederica have won four of their first five games. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple-A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.